Now we're looking at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I'm going to go back and look for just a moment at verse 6. But now, Romans 7 verse 6. But now, by His grace, but now, we are delivered from the curse of the law by the blessed obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, that being dead, wherein we were held, the law had us in bondage. But the Lord has came and delivered us from the curse of the law, that we should serve Him in newness. I like that word, newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Now notice the marginal reference there on that verse is 2 Corinthians 3:6. And I've written it down here. Paul said that God had made him an able minister of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Then he says, the letter killeth, talking about the law. The letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit giveth life, for the Spirit quickens. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Believers, having been set free by the power of God through the gospel, by the purpose of God, by the promise of God to save sinners in Christ, by God's grace, believers are highly motivated and inspired, motivated to walk and live in the newness of the Spirit, or the newness of life, the newness of the Spirit of the living God. They're not motivated by the cold, dead letter of the law. It is the truth of the gospel of Christ, that's the power of God unto salvation, that sets us free. Whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. Our Lord said, you shall know the truth, and that truth will set you free. And then I love that scripture in Galatians 5, verse 1, where it says, Paul declares that God, He set us free. We've been set free, liberated in Christ, not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Believers have been given in regenerating grace a new, holy, divine nature. We still have this flesh, but we have a new, holy, divine nature that God implants within us, that changes our desires, our attitude, our thoughts about God, about sin, about self, and the way that God saves sinners. Peter says we are partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world. The believer is under new management. He's under the loving lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the cold, dead letter of the law, but we have in Christ this loving relationship with God Almighty in the blessed Son. For we are accepted in the Beloved, and believers are motivated not by threats of the law, not even by promise of reward, but rather they are motivated by love to the Lord Jesus Christ. His love constrains us. Now, what we see here in these verses, verse 7 down through verse 14, we see Paul's experience of grace as he was Saul of Tarsus. And then in verses 15 down through verse 25, we see the apostle in his life as a believer that is described, and we'll look at that next time. Now, what we find here in Romans 7, verse 7, down through verse 14, is similar to what the apostle Paul writes about in Philippians chapter 3. He called himself a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now, look what he says in verse 7. So believers have been made new creatures in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Look at verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the holy, just law of God Is the law sin, or is the law of God sinful? We have to agree with Paul, God forbid. The law of God is just and holy and right, reveals the very character of God. Then he says, God forbid. Nay, he said, I had not known sin but by the law of God. I remember when John described what sin is. Sin is transgression against the law of God. I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Not one time, not one way. That's what the law of God demands. Absolute, perfect holiness. Now, is the law sinful? Does the law of God cause us to sin against God? The law is not the problem. What is the problem? We're the problem. We're sinners. We are sinners. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. The law does not cause us to sin against God. It is holy, just, and right. The problem is not with the law. The problem is with our weak and sinful flesh, is it not? That's what Paul points out here. Turn one page, Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, the law could not pronounce a guilty sinner justified, could it? By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Nothing wrong with the law of God. The problems are wicked, sinful flesh, and the only remedy for that is God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but rather after the Spirit of God. So the problem, clearly, is not with the law. It is holy, it is just, it is good as God Himself. But the problem is our flesh. You remember what Paul said over here in Romans 7, verse 18? Our flesh, that which is born of the flesh, that's all it ever will be, is flesh. Sinful flesh. For I know, Romans 7, 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good? He said, even as an apostle, I don't do that. I don't do that. I can't. And then he tells us about his experience of grace. I had not known sin, my sin against God, except the holy law of God exposed it to me. The law revealed the lust of my heart. The law of God says thou shalt not only do no evil, but the law of God says you should not even think evil. Now, wouldn't that be something if you never had an evil, wicked thought? That's what the law of God demands. The only one who met that standard was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who had no sin, knew no sin, and did no sin. The extent of the holy law of God demands perfection in word, deed, thought, and motive. Complete perfection all the time. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is transgression against the law. And we know, thank God for the second part of that verse, we know that He was manifested to take away our sin, and in Him is no sin. Reminds me of that verse in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? God forbid. I had not known really what sin is, except the law pointed it out to me. I had not known lust, except the law had said, you shouldn't do that. You should never, ever have another sinful, lustful thought. That's what the law of God demands. Now, look at verse 8. But sin. Now, here's the problem. But sin. Sin is what we are. Sin is what we are. What we do is S-I-N-S. Sins.
But sin is what we are. If we say we have no sin nature, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. 1 John 1:7. But sin, taking occasion, opportunity, by the commandment, wrought in me, worked in me all manner of concupiscence, all manner of lust. For without the law, sin was dead. Now, what's he saying here? The holy law of God found in me, that is found in Paul, every opportunity, every occasion, as he was known as Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee, to expose and condemn Paul in all of his sinful lust and deeds. That's what the law of God does. You remember in Romans chapter 3, it says, stop your mouth. Guilty. Guilty before God. Guilty. It's like the mirror on the wall. All of us looked at the mirror this morning, didn't we? What did you see in that mirror? You saw yourself, didn't you? Like the mirror on the wall, when you look at the mirror, it reveals what we really are. It reveals every blemish and spot. It exposes you, doesn't it? Like the law of God. It does nothing to improve you. Looking at the mirror, you look at it all day. Not going to change your appearance one bit. It just reveals what's there. S-I-N. The law and the mirror does not hide your fault or remove your faults. It simply exposes you as you are before God. And then he says, for without the law, sin was dead. Before we are convicted of our sin by the power of the Holy Spirit, revealing the holy demands of the law of God, sin was dead in us because we were dead in sin. It was dormant in us. Sin was there all along, but we didn't realize it. We didn't know it because God had not taken the law of God and revealed the high, holy standard of the law. It's like this. It's like the malignant tumor within our body, full of diseases. We know nothing of it until we have an MRI, and it reveals it and exposes our dreadful condition. Now, that test doesn't remove the cancer. It simply exposes the disease, and that's what the law of God does. It exposes us for what we are, S-I-N. I tell you, it's a good thing that God does use that holy law of God to expose our sin, because you know what it does? It drives us to the remedy, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 9. Verse 8, but sin, taking occasion or opportunity by the commandment, worked in me all manner of lust. For without the law, sin was dead. I didn't really realize I was a sinner before God. I was alive, verse 9. Now this is Saul of Tarsus as the Pharisee speaking here. He said, I was alive without the law once. You remember Saul of Tarsus, as he describes his experience as a religious lost man, he said, concerning the law, blameless. He said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I was, my mother was a Hebrew. My dad was a Hebrew. I was circumcised the eighth day. He said, I thought what was life and salvation without the law once, when he was a lost religious man. But when the law of God came in the hands of God the Holy Spirit, sin revived. Sin was exposed. Sin came alive. And you know what it did? He said, it killed me. Killed any hope I had by the deeds of the law. I was alive without the law once. That was Saul of Tarsus, the proud, self-righteous Pharisee. But when the law really came, in the convicting power of God the Holy Spirit, sin came alive. That's when he realized that he was a sinner before God. And then it says, I died. It killed me. Now look at verse 10.
and the commandment which was, and the two words there, was ordained to life, have been added. The commandment to life, I found that it killed me. It brought me to death. To death. The judgment. 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 The holy law of God promised life. The holy law of God, now listen, promised life upon the condition of absolute obedience, perfection, word, deed, thought, and motive. Here's what it says in Leviticus 18. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgment. If a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Now, if you can do the law, you can have life by it. But we know that that's impossible in this flesh. The only one who kept the law of God, and he did that for us, not for himself, was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, quoting Leviticus 18 in Galatians chapter 3, he says, "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Paul declares, "Then I found that I could not obey the law. Therefore the law pronounced the sentence of death upon me." Remember Galatians 3 verse 12? "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." But think about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. What He has done for us. In the salvation of sinners, the law of God was not ignored or set aside. The holy law of God was perfectly honored by the Lord Jesus Christ in His life. That is the mystery and glory and beauty of the gospel. How God can honor His holy law, not set it aside. He can't do that because He's holy. The law is just. But the beauty and the mystery of the gospel is how God can honor His own holy law and justly save sinners, not at the expense of His holiness. And that's the beauty and mystery of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made accursed for us. He honored the law of God in His life and in His death. Such a high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sin. This is exactly saying the same thing as Paul says back over here in Romans 3:26, "To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of them which believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." He is the only just God and Savior. And that's the mystery and beauty and power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The law of God is not set aside. The law of God is honored. Our Lord said this in Matthew 5:17. He said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law of the prophets. I'm not come to destroy. I came to fulfill it." Now, the law of God has to be honored. The only way that God can justify the ungodly is for that law of God to be honored. And the law of God being honored, now in Christ, the law of God demands that we are set free. In Isaiah 42:1, we read this, "Behold my servant," talking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." And then in Isaiah 42:21, it says, "The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable for us." Now see, the law of God is not shoved aside, it's honored. You remember back over here in Romans chapter 3, verse 31, where Paul asked this question, "Do we then make void the law through faith?" No. God forbid, he said, we establish the law. How do we establish the law? The Lord Jesus Christ honored the law of God for us, satisfied the justice of God's holy law for us, and has set us free. The debt being fully paid, God said, "I have found a ransom
deliver them from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. That ransom is the blood atonement of the Lord Himself. Now, look down at verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it, it slew me. Now, Paul says, when he was Saul of Tarsus, that he was so deceived by his sinful nature, through his depraved and sinful nature, that one time he thought he kept and that he honored the law of God. You remember the story of the young rich ruler who said to the Lord Jesus Christ, all these I've kept from my youth. What do I lack? You see, he was deceived by his own sinful nature, thinking that he kept the law. Multitudes in our day are deceived the same exact way. Our heart is so sinful and so desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, who can know it? Sinners that are untaught of God, self-righteous religious people who are untaught of God, they think they actually honor the law of God by what they do, say, think. But they're deceived. That's what Saul of Tarsus said here. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, it deceived me, and then it killed me. When it came in the hands of God, the Holy Spirit, in conviction. Wherefore, the law is holy, the commandment is holy, the commandment and law of God is just because God is just, and it is good. It's reflection of God's good character in every way. The law of God is perfect and good. You see, then the problem is not with the holy law of God, is it? All the precepts of the law are good and right. In all of its commandments, they require nothing but absolute holiness, justice. It reflects the very holy character of God and the very will of God. The law is holy. The commandment is holy. It's just and it is good. We can say with David, I delight in the law of God. And that's what Paul says over here. Look what it says in Romans 7, verse 22. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, after that new holy nature given in regenerating grace. Now, look at verse 13. Was then that which is good made death to me? And then again, he says, God forbid. But sin, that it might appear what it really is, sin working death in me by that which is good, holy, and just, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Now, as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see more of the necessity of grace. We see more of the necessity of Christ. We think better of Him, higher of Him, and we think of ourselves worse and worse and worse. Paul, as he says over here in Romans 7:24, this is the Apostle Paul, he says, O wretched man that I am. Doesn't say that I was, that I am. You see, the flesh doesn't get better. The flesh doesn't improve. As we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see ourselves more sinful than we ever did before. We see more of the necessity and beauty and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Now, was then the holy, just, and law, good law of God, the cause of my death? Not the cause of my death, is it? What's the cause of death? Sin. Sin. By one man, sin entered into this world, and death by sin. When sin is finished, it brings death. It is my sin against God that condemns me.
The law only reveals that I'm a sinner, exceeding sinful.
But it does not cause me to sin, does it? The law is not the problem. The problem is my sin and my flesh. Therefore, he says, verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual. It demands spiritual perfection, and we can't produce it. But he said, I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, look over in Romans 7, verse 25. Paul said, I'm carnal, I'm fleshly man, a sinner, with all the infirmities of the flesh. And then he says, I'm still a wretched man in my flesh. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who can? Who can deliver me from this body of death? Well, we can't deliver ourselves. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's our deliverer. So then with my mind, I serve the law of God. Now, how do we do that? By faith, looking to Christ. But with the flesh, according to the law of God, says we're guilty. But with the flesh, the law of sin. That which is born of the flesh, flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, we'll pick up there next time in verse 15 down through verse 25. We have here in the last part of this chapter Paul's experience as a believer. Before his experience as a self-righteous, lost religious Pharisee, now as a believer, for that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that's what I do. Boy, that's something to think about, isn't it? You look at those verses for preparation of our study next week.